The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text for our sermon today is Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately it puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, we have now began the Trinity season. The colour is green, and the subject is growth, spiritual growth. We read in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Today's gospel lesson stresses the importance of the word of God when it says, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." Jesus is the best and greatest teacher. His method always adapted to the understanding of his hearers. He often chose to teach by means of a parable. What is a parable? It is a story of everyday life which teaches a lesson in another department of life. This form of religious teaching is found especially in the Gospels, which give us the direct teachings of Jesus. There are very few parables in the Old Testament, only 7, while Jesus used no fewer than 28, and some of them given to us by as many as 3 evangelists. Very few were given by the apostles. And what was the effect of this kind of teaching upon the people? We read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Our text today is taken from a chapter containing 3 parables. All 3 are closely related, both in the truths that they teach and in the subject matter they present. First comes the well-known parable of the sower, going to sow his seed and the 4 kinds of ground on which the seed fell. This parable tells us of the foundation and the beginning of the kingdom of God. The 3rd parable, immediately following the one in our text, is a parable of the mustard seed which grew into a great tree. This parable tells us of the completion of the kingdom of God. The 2nd parable, which is given in our text today, tells us also of a sower, but its lesson is the growth and development of that same kingdom of God. Let us closely follow the Saviour's unfolding of this subject. We may consider as our theme, spiritual life under the figure of a grain of wheat. There are 5 separate thoughts in the Saviour's progressive unfolding of this theme. May the Lord bless the meditation. Firstly, let us have a brief overview of the entire text. This parable is found only in Mark. Whenever Christ speaks about the kingdom of God, his ruling activity, his words always have something to do with the seed, the gospel that brings people to faith in Jesus Christ. Here Jesus speaks of the power and reliability of the gospel message. All that need be done, in fact, all that can be done, is to sow the seed, to proclaim the word. A farmer who plants a seed does not understand how it grows. The power is in the seed. So it is with the gospel. It is sown, it sprouts, it matures, it is harvested. Christ's words echo Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." The harvest includes the final harvest at the end of the world, when all mankind will see the marvellous fruits the Lord produced through his word in this world of sin. But the harvest is also reaped here and now in the life of every child of God, in whose heart the word has taken root and grown, and whose faith God uses time and time again to bring the same word to other people. The harvest is not the believer's doing, but God's. Thus his parable was a special comfort to the apostles as they carried out Jesus' assignment. St. Paul later put it in this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Even though at times we may not see the results, there will be a harvest because the seed has God's power within it. One thing more must still be noted. The phrase, for the earth yields crop by itself, might seem as though the earth, the human heart, receives some credit. Not at all, for the Greek really means spontaneously, automatically, or as a matter of course. The person's heart is only the location of where it takes place. God's power, inherent in the word, is the cause. If it were not so, you and I would be without hope, for by nature we are corrupt and sinful, and we reject the grace of God. It is God alone who overcomes this opposition on our part and brings us to faith. We preach and teach the word, and God does the rest. So secondly, the growth of the kingdom, its internal energy. All life is indeed a mystery. We cannot comprehend even its simplest forms. And here we are dealing with spiritual life, life's highest form. Life is all about us. We see its manifestations on every hand, and yet we know and understand nothing whatever of its real existence. There is a wonderful power in the life of any form. How much more so in spiritual life, its highest form? The sower, according to our text, places a seed in the ground and then apparently leaves it to its own devices. If he had buried a pebble in the ground, that would have been the beginning and the end of the whole matter. Nothing whatever would have come of it. But he has placed a grain of wheat in the ground, and under the influence of moisture and warmth, the grain of wheat begins to swell and burst open, and a small, though seemingly frail and feeble, blade of living grass pushes forth. Substance without life, for instance a grain of starch, might have swelled and expanded under the same conditions, but no blade would have pushed forth. Plainly, there must have been some powerful force other than mere chemical or physical force to produce this result. It is this thought which we are to take over into the spiritual world. When the word of God is preached to the souls of men, it is as if a grain of wheat were placed in the ground under the right conditions for germination. The power which God has placed in his word regenerates a cold, dead heart of man, and behold, there is a spring forth of new life. The power is really the same in each instance, although applied to different ends. In the case of the seed, for this earthly life, in the other case, for eternal heavenly life. In Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, Christ points out in plain words what this power is, as you read in John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And shortly after this, Jesus likened his power to the wind. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." The internal energy is of God. So thirdly, the growth of a kingdom, its growth is according to laws. The entire process of germination and growth is an orderly process, according to the laws which are as old and as well established as creation itself. In each case, the right conditions must first be fulfilled. In the first parable of our chapter, this is more plainly indicated under the figure of the seed falling upon stony or thorny ground. It is not every person who hears the word of the gospel that is converted. Why this is true is harder for us to understand than in the case of seed falling on stony or thorny ground. Our text today is not, however, so much concerned with cases of failure as rather with cases of success, where all laws of life are correctly followed. Where this is the case, growth follows seemingly of itself. The sower does not worry over the growth. He does not, like some foolish gardeners, from time to time dig up the seed to see how things are progressing. That will defeat the purpose. No, he sleeps and rises night and day. He goes about his other business and has perfect confidence that this life which he has put into the ground will, according to laws which he has repeatedly observed, come forth and show itself in its own good time. Thus it is also in spiritual life. Preaching the word of God by the grace of the Holy Spirit, who operates through it, has touched the heart of the sinner. Thereby a certain process of spiritual life has been started, and growth, according to the laws of this life, will certainly follow. So fourthly, the growth of the kingdom is gradual. And as our text teaches us, still another fact concerning spiritual life, its growth is gradual. Much disappointment is caused to many people by this fact. They want to have spiritual growth by jerks and in sudden stages. But God has once for all arranged the matter thus. Spiritual growth is a slow, gradual process, much like that of a great and mighty oak. It takes centuries to produce such a product, while you can grow a pumpkin in a few months. But surely a Christian character is worth it. What a noble thing is a mature, developed Christian character. It is worth all it costs. The indwelling of the Spirit of God does his work slowly. He has plenty of time. Impatience in this matter merely defeats its own purpose. Nothing, no human effort or worry, can hurry spiritual growth. After the seed is sown, you must inevitably wait the appointed time for the harvest. Sometimes a Christian feels disappointed at the gradualness of his spiritual growth. This is but another opportunity for developing patience and trust in the Divine Spirit who controls this matter. And he does all things well. So fifthly, the progressive stages of the growth of the kingdom. Our text teaches us the next fact concerning the spiritual life when we read, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. Thus it is with spiritual life. Progressive stages make up its growth. In the beginning it is but small and weak, corresponding to the thin, small blade of grass. But after a period of time, there is a promise of fruit. As of wheat, one can see the immature ear, which will in time develop into the full grain in the head. And so it is in spiritual life. As Solomon truly tells us, we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. Much trouble and heartache have those who do things out of their appointed time. For example, Moses' first attempt to be the leader of the children of Israel. God has once for all arranged all things according to an ordered course. Would you make an exception with spiritual growth? Would you expect the full head first, and after that the immature grain, and perhaps last of all, the tiny growing blade? Certainly not. God is a God of order, and everything in his kingdom works in an orderly manner. It is well for us to understand and accept this fact. So sixthly, the growth of the kingdom, its certain development. Finally, we learn that the spiritual life that is developed and growth are certain. This fact follows from the fact which we have already noticed. As we watch the germination and development of a grain of wheat, we become more and more confident that the harvest will soon appear. It does not depend on us and on our efforts. The sower in our text slept and rose. not concerning himself with the seed which he had sown. We have no power to make the plant bring forth its fruit. There is a higher power in which we must trust. And even so in spiritual life. That infinite power of God, which first made us Christians, is also engaged in keeping us Christians and in bringing us to our full development in eternal life. As St. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That same omnipotent power of God, which is active in the smallest plant, making it bring forth fruit after its kind, is also active in a different manner and with different means in calling and enlightening us with the gospel, awakening faith in our hearts, and keeping us all the days of our earthly pilgrimage with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. This means that by the same power of God, God will, in his own good time, raise me and all the dead and give me and all believers in Christ Jesus eternal life. This is most certainly true. All glory be to God on high. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.